Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It's that last part of the verse I want to concentrate on. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think that this is one of the most encouraging statements in the whole Bible. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Think about it. This passage we have read, in chapter 29, David is probably at the lowest point in his life. If chapter 28, which we didn't read, we see the departing king of Israel, King Saul, if we see him consulting a witch, in chapter 29, which we did read, we have little more encouragement as we look at the incoming king. Because in chapter 29, we find David coming to the end of his 6 months of backsliding, wherein it seems he composed no psalms. Wherein we actually read there in verse 8 that David was actually prepared and willing to fight with the Philistines against the people of God, the Israelites. It's almost unbelievable. You find him there when Achish the king supported and moved that David come with the troops. The lords of the Philistines said, hey, we can't trust David. He's really an Israelite. He's a spy in the camp. We can't let him go out to the battle with us. Achish had then to go to David and said, I'm sorry, the lords of the Philistines won't let you fight with us. They don't trust you. And David said in verse 8, what have I done? Why can't I go out? I've shown my loyalty to you. That's how far David has gone. Really sad, isn't it? If ever there was a time when one would write off Israel, it would be now, surely. But you see, we must remember this. God is not in the business of writing people off. There's a verse in the Bible, you know, it's in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. And it says, God hates putting away. You remember that. God just hates putting people away. Maybe you're beginning to seek God. Or maybe you're like David. You were close to God at one time. You were following God avidly at one time. But now, recently, you've gone back. But remember, God hates putting away. He has to do it on occasions, but he hates it. He'd much rather you draw near to him. Now, here is David in verse 6 in chapter 30. And we find David was greatly distressed. But yet, he could encourage himself in God. That's tremendous, isn't it? Though he's so in such a condition, yet he can encourage himself in God. Now let's just look at his situation. Let's first of all look at David's distress. First thing to note, is that David lost every earthly possession which he had. The Amalekites had raided his city, or his village, whatever you want to call it, and they took everything that was useful to them, and they burnt everything that they had no use for, so that David lost every earthly possession he had. And at this point in David's life, David's possessions could have been carried in a plastic carrier bag. The only things he possessed were the things he carried with him. And I don't know if he carried anything with him. But that's all he had. He lost every possession. Every earthly thing he had. Greatly distressed. But he can encourage himself in God. The second thing to note that caused his distress was not just that he lost everything that belonged to him, but his two wives had been taken hostage. He was effectively bereaved. Now the passage makes it very clear that the Amalekites who had raided the village had not killed their wives, the women. But in these days, it was equivalent to a bereavement. You were never likely to see your wives again. And so you can imagine David. He's bereaved. He's off his work, he's off his food, he's off his sleep. He's effectively bereaved of his two wives. He hasn't an earthly possession. And remember this also. David could not sit back and mourn and grieve his loss. You see, there was a real threat of ambush from the Amalekites. They would raid a village when the people were away. Then they would hide in ambush and wait for the people to return. And then they'd come and get them. David couldn't relax. You see, the Amalekites were absolutely ruthless people. The Amalekites killed for the sheer pleasure of killing people. And David's life was in danger, as were his men's. They couldn't relax. They couldn't say, oh, just give me some antidepressants. Just let me sit at home and weep. And do you remember what we noted at the end of verse 4? David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And then, of course, he said, hey, wait, we can't stay here or we'll be killed too. What distress David was in. But he can encourage himself in God. Are you in distress tonight? Can you encourage yourself in God like David? David could. And then, of course, there was this which caused David extreme distress. His own people spoke of stoning him. His own people turned against him. There was mutiny in his own ranks. Treason was in the wind. And poor David cannot confide in one person. He cannot trust his own men at this point. Because they were speaking of stoning him. These people that David had done so much for, they were turning against him. And they said, David, if we hadn't followed you, we wouldn't have gotten into this trouble. We wouldn't have lost our wives. We wouldn't have lost our possessions. We wouldn't be as fugitives in the wilderness. David, it's your fault. David's own men were turning against him. But David can encourage himself in God. Can you? How low are you? Tell me, are you lower than David was? How low David was? Not an earthly possession. His wives were taken. The threat, the real threat of his own life to be taken. His own people turning against him. How low he came. But you know, the greatest problem of all that David had at this very point was something quite different. It was simply this. The worst thing of all about David's position was that David was backsliding. For at least 18 months, probably near 2 years, David was going away from God. He's been adding to his wives. He's been composing no writings that's ever recorded. And as we said already, he was sheltering and fought with the Philistines, who are the enemies of God's people. That had been going on for months and months and months. And maybe you're here tonight, and you've got cold. You've gone away from God. You haven't worshipped for a long while, perhaps. We read here the most amazing, one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. He was greatly distressed. He was at the lowest point in his life, many people believe, till he had no more power to weep, as we read in verse 4. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Tell me, how can David do that? How can he do it at this point? Surely he's going to wait a while. How can David do it? Well, the Bible itself teaches us that these things, referring to the history of the Old Testament, these things are written for our learning today. And one of the big mistakes we make today is to think that the Bible's for a past age. And those who do accept the Bible often find them saying, oh, but that's the Old Testament. It doesn't apply today. It's only the New Testament that applies today. You hear many people saying, wrong. The New Testament says about the Old Testament, these things are written for our learning today. And whatever condition you're in tonight, whatever distress you're in tonight, whatever troubling you tonight, remember this. The Bible is your answer. The Bible speaks to your condition. The Bible can take you out of that situation you are in. And tonight can be a turning point in your life, the same as it was for David at the lowest point in his career. Till he had no more power to weep. But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It would have been so easy for David at this point to say, well, God is obviously against me. I mean, he wouldn't have let all this happen to me. If I was God's man, if I was the man after God's own heart, this wouldn't have happened. He could have said that. Couldn't he? But he didn't. He could have sulked and said, well, I was possibly never converted in the first place. He could have said that. But that's not what we read. That's not what he did. Well, David could have said to himself, it's all my own fault. And of course he would have been correct. He could have said, it's all my own fault. There's no point in me ever trying to get back in with God. He could have said that. But he didn't say it. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David could have said to himself, this is going to take years. If ever I'm going to get back in God's favour, it'll take years. I mean, I've been away near 2 years. It's going to take another 2 years to get back. He could have reasoned like that. But our Bible tells us tonight that very night when David went to his home and discovered all was lost, rejected by the Philistines, gone back to his own city, burned with fire, lost his wives, lost his possessions. His own people speak of killing him. No more power to weep than in danger of losing his own life. David encourages himself in the Lord his God. How come? How can he do that? I suppose one short answer would be this. Once you're God's, you are always God's. Once you belong to him, once you're in his kingdom, you remain his forever. Now, isn't that a God to seek? Isn't that a God to know? Isn't that a God to have on your side? Once saved, always saved. You see, we tend to think, if we're Christians, and then we backslide. Oh, well, God will not have me now. I've let him down. Here, listen. Since when did God choose us because we were good? Since when did God choose us because we were going to do him a favor? Since when was the basis of God blessing us our good behavior? It never was. It's never the foundation for God showing his mercy. The foundation for God showing us mercy is that our sins have been paid for through Christ. That Christ took our punishment. It's for Christ's sake God shows us or anyone mercy and blessing. There is a little hint though. There is a little key to the answer in the very words we were going to look at. David encouraged himself. See the point? Himself. Do you know this? The biggest problem is ourselves. That's the problem. So often, the big problem is ourselves, especially when we're discouraged. Do you know that? Biggest problem is ourselves. I always remember hearing at a minister's conference, actually, about this one statement, and it struck me years, and I think it must be 20 years ago I heard it. And someone just mentioned it. I think it was last week or the week before. They said it was the most... They were at the conference. I only heard tapes of the conference. But they said I was at the conference and I never got a thing except one statement. And it was this. Discouragement is only a way of looking at things. That's all it is. It's a way of looking at things. You can look at it another way. Discouragement actually isn't a thing in itself. It's just a perspective. It's just a point of view. It's not a thing in itself. It's only a way of looking at a situation. And you know, David knew that. So he could encourage himself when the Lord is God. And you know why I'm sure of that? Because he wrote Psalm 42 verse 5. I'll read it. Do you know what it says? David's writing here. And he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." You see what David's doing there? He's speaking to himself. You see, we've noted before, David got into trouble whenever he began to think of himself. And whenever we eclipse God, whenever we leave God out of the picture, whenever we just begin to think of ourselves, that's when the problems begin. But you see, there's all the difference in the world between thinking of yourself on one hand and speaking to yourself on the other hand, like David is doing here, he's speaking to you. Why are you cast down? What reason you got to be cast down? God's still on the throne. God's still the same. God hasn't changed. You've changed. God hasn't changed. Think of God. The biggest problem so often in our discouragements are ourselves. So David encouraged himself. He spoke to himself. He pulled his socks up, he got himself together, addressed his problem, said, God's still upon the throne. And do you notice, this is why I believe in what we call the verbal and plenary inspiration of Scripture. Not just the truth that's spoken, not just the sentences, but every word in the original is inspired. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You say, David, you're not speaking to God just now. You've forgotten about God. It's wonderful, really, isn't it? It's wonderful, God's covenant. If God takes to deal with you, if God comes into your life, if God saves you, God remains always the same. You might wander away. You might behave as if you're not one of his children. But God's the same. God's gifts are not changeable. God's gifts are forever. It is important to remember that. Especially when we're down. Especially when we're down. We're to do what David did when he was at the lowest point in his life. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. I might have wandered away from God, but God's the same. God anointed me. God chose me. God hasn't changed. God's the same. It's terrific having God on your side, you know. It really is. Well, what was the process? What is the process? What can you and I learn tonight for ourselves today in the 21st century? How we can encourage ourselves in the Lord our God when we get discouraged and down, even when we may be backsliding? Well, it started with David starting to pray. He started praying to God. Listen, remember what the problem was. Remember how it all started. It all started by him stopping speaking to God. That's how it started. He started thinking of himself again. But he didn't get involved with God. He got involved with himself. Inward looking, introvert. My problems. What I want. How uncomfortable I'm feeling. Instead of thinking of God. He started speaking to God again. And that's very important. You know, the way back to God is actually quite easy. I know it's very difficult to do, but it's actually quite easy. Start speaking to God. Just turn to God. Be friendly, as it were, toward God. Sin is being unfriendly to God. And the way to recovery is to start speaking to God again. You see, it's all to do with attitude. Our attitude to our Maker. Our attitude to God. That's what it's all about. You see, God looks on the heart. God looks on your spirit. God looks on your attitude to him. Start praying. What a great start that would be. If you started praying tonight. If you started just, God's not looking for a theological treatise. Just a friendly word of prayer. Just start speaking to God. Then you say, right, I'm going to start speaking to God. What will I say? What will I say to God? Well, this is what you'll say to God. You'll tell him the truth. You'll tell him you're a sinner. Tell him what you've done wrong. Tell him you don't understand all this religion stuff, but that you'd like to get right with God. Now, David's most serious problem at this point in his life was that he could not see his sin. He was so obsessed with his problem. Now, I'm not trying to minimize his problem. He definitely had a problem. He was anointed king, and the present king was hunting him like a fugitive. And instead of being on the throne, he was in a cave. I'm not saying it wasn't a serious thing, but you see, he was obsessed with it, and he was forgetting about God. David's serious problem was he didn't see that. He couldn't recognize. He didn't recognize, and you see, that's the thing with backsliding. I've heard people say to me, oh, I would never backslide as long as I'm on this island. And maybe if I went to the mainland, I would backslide, but I wouldn't on this island. Now, you see what that's betraying. That's betraying the idea that you backslide intentionally. You wouldn't do it here, but you would do it perhaps in the mainland. As if backsliding is something you do intentionally. Backsliding is not something that you do intentionally. It happens unconsciously. And before you realize it, you're backslidden. You see, if you backslide intentionally, that's not backsliding. That's apostasy. An entirely different thing. Far, far more serious. But anyway, you start speaking to God. What do you say to him? You acknowledge your sin. And that's exactly what we've been singing. You see, I think you'll find, if you start speaking to God and start confessing your sinnership and your sinfulness and your poverty before him, I think you'll find things begin to change. And you know, that's exactly the turning point here in verse 6. Things began to change. Look at the success that David has before we read the end of the chapter. Because he started speaking to God. He started confessing his sin. And he started asking advice of God. He went to Abiathar the priest and said, should we chase after these Amalekites that took all our belongings? And you see, he recovered every single thing. He inquired of God. When did we last hear he inquired of God? Well, he acknowledged that things begin to change whenever you acknowledge and confess your sin before God. And you see, this is what we were singing there purposely in Psalm 32. I thereupon have unto thee my sin acknowledged, and likewise my iniquity I have not covered. I'll confess unto the Lord my trespasses, said I. But did you note what we read in the verse before? When I kept silent, my bones waxed old. That is when he kept silent about confessing his sin. When he didn't tell God what he was doing wrong. And you know, some people, they're frightened to tell God when they do something wrong. What a big, big mistake that is. You should never be frightened to tell God when you do something wrong. You should tell him immediately. It's very important that. Instead of running away from God when you do something wrong, run to God and tell him what you've done wrong. And you'll be pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised. God will forgive. That's what we were singing. Of my sin I will confess unto the Lord my trespasses, said I. And of my sin thou freely didst forgive the iniquity. Never cover your sin. Confess it to God. Something else David did. Considered, surely. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, in the day of adversity, consider. When things go wrong, keep calm and consider. David surely thought back when he was in that distress. Thought back and considered. Would he not have considered and thought of the time the Lord delivered him out of the hand of the lion and the bear? Would he not have thought of the time Samuel anointed him king of all Israel before his family? Would he have not have thought back and considered of the wonderful victory he had against Goliath? Oh, how the tables had turned. Would he not have thought back and considered how God had spared his life when Saul, with that javelin, throwing it at David only 2 or 3 feet away and missing, how God was with him? God escaped him. God spared him. Would he not have thought of all the psalms he used to compose and sing and play on the harp? In the day of adversity, consider. David must have considered what God had already done for him. Surely. David must have considered what God had already promised yet to do for him. That's the way back to God. What has God said? Not only what has God already done, but what has God said he will do? Because God doesn't change. We change. We're fickle. God's not fickle. God doesn't change. What has God said? What has God already done in your life? Why has God spared you to this very moment? Because he's got a purpose for you. You must have considered what a profitable thing it is to consider. But you know, there was something else. Do you notice how David showed mercy here? He was so full of thankfulness, so full of God's forgiveness, that he shows mercy to others. See, verses 23 and 24. You see, when David then inquired, should I chase these Amalekites who did us all so much damage? And God said yes. He chased them, and they recovered every single thing. Verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his 2 wives. This, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. What success he had. But you see, when they came back home, there was 200 of them who hadn't gone out to battle. They said they were too tired. Now, we don't know where they chicken, were they frightened, were they turning coat, or what are they doing? But they said they were too tired, and they said they would just stay here. And when they came back, the other 400 men of David said, hey, these ones that stayed at home, they're not getting part of the spoil. They're not getting the goodies. They didn't go with us. And you see how David wonderfully, in verses 23 and 24, he says, look, God has given us this great, great blessing. We're going to give it to them. And he made a statute in Israel forever. It was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. He was able to forgive because he had been forgiven. And you know, there's nothing like a forgiving spirit to restore joy and to overcome discouragement. If we're discouraged, if we're cast down, to have a critical, carping spirit makes us 10 times worse. Try and forgive. Have a spirit of the Master. Forgive. Don't be so critical. David here showed an example to the 200. They're called here the wicked men. And David teaches them a lesson on forgiveness. How to love. It's therapeutic. Forgiving is therapeutic. Loving is therapeutic. Well, just 3 points in conclusion as we finish. We quoted the verse there. In the day of adversity, consider. That same verse begins by saying, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And if you read Psalm 30, from verse 6 to verse 12, I think you'll discover it's David who wrote that psalm. And he comes to the conclusion that one of the reasons he came into adversity was that when he was in prosperity, he did not praise God. I've no time to go into it now, but you can read it. Verse 60, in my prosperity I said something. But it ends, I should have done this. Wish he should have praised God in times of prosperity. And you know, an ungrateful spirit can lead us into times of discouragement. It's important to be grateful to God for all our blessings. That's just something in passing. But the second thing I want to say in conclusion is this. Every Christian has reason to be humble. But no Christian has any reason to be discouraged. All the events of providence should humble us, but not discourage us. If David, in his condition, can encourage himself in the Lord his God, what reason we have in our day to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, if we're a Christian? If you're a Christian, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. But finally, if you're not a Christian, you know there's still hope for you. And I think I've mentioned it before. It's an amazing verse, another amazing verse, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Without hope, without God, chapter 2, verse 12, I'll read it. Having no hope and without God in the world. Note, this is again, we're coming to the point, every word's inspired in the original. Having no hope and without God in the world. Now some people misquote that verse and say, without hope and without God in the world. But that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say without hope. It says having no hope. There is hope, that you may not have it, but it's available for you, if you will have it. The hope of the gospel is this. Anyone at all, whoever he is, whatever he or she may have done, whatever the background, whatever the history, in Christ there's hope. You can be made a new person in Christ, and you don't have to wait 6 months, you don't have to wait 6 weeks. Christ is here this evening for you, if you will have him in your life. Having no hope, but there is hope. There's hope available. Hope set before you in the gospel. Hope in Christ Jesus. If you're a Christian, you have every reason to be encouraged. If you're not a Christian, you have the hope of the gospel set before you. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.